Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, my goodness, I don't know if you saw what's taking place in, we're talking about the persecuted church this Sunday and praying for them, but in Egypt, which we participated in as a nation, empowering the Muslim Brotherhood by going to the Cairo speech, which you can actually see probably as a related link on this on the VFN Torch, and you know, is America under God's judgment? The state of the nation. The state of the nation is what it is called. And our president's first international speech was him going to Cairo to be able, and beginning to paint a narrative, which is Alinsky 101. Paint a narrative that says that this banned group called the Muslim Brotherhood needs to be the one in power here.
Wow.
And he did. He painted it. We didn't understand what we understand, what God's been revealed to us since then, but that's just Alinsky 101.
Even the Egyptians know that. I ran into some Egyptians locally who are in the military, and I go, Mohamed Morsi, they couldn't talk English. And they go, they didn't want the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, they didn't want the Muslim Brotherhood.
I want to say to the Egyptian people, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what we did. I'm sorry for our interference with your government. I'm sorry for what you're having to put up with because of what we did. Please forgive us. Yeah, please forgive us. But I want to tell you this. I've fallen in love with you. I have this love in my heart for the Egyptian people because there was like this wall that kept us from seeing each other for who we really are.
Yeah.
And the Egyptian people are not only beautiful, but their hearts are so good that they want, they see the story and the narrative that the enemy was painting is not true. That they truly want to be free. They don't want that. They want, and I'm like, oh, this is, and these few terrorists that we help empower there through in bringing up the Muslim Brotherhood, imprisoning the president.
Morsi?
No, we didn't do that.
Mubarak.
Mubarak. That's the one we put in or helped participate in the context of that. And Morsi, the Egyptian people put Morsi in the military, trying to maintain their freedom and all. That now the church is being persecuted by these same folks. These same folks who we help put in power, the very ones that our president, you need to understand. Close your eyes and watch what's going on. Close your eyes and watch what's going on. Close your fleshly eyes and watch what's going on. Every one of us are created in the image and the likeness of God. Every one of us has authority, but you're going to have to close your eyes to see what's going on because the eye can fool you. The eye can fool you. Radical Islam hates God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That's how you would say that. He hates this God. They hate this God. Now they have another God that's not a God at all, but they say this God, the one that Muhammad, but understand, they hate Israel.
Yeah.
That's who Jacob is. Jacob's name is Israel. Israel's Jacob. That's the same person. You can call Israel Jacob. You can call Jacob Israel. So he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And not only do they hate Israel, but they hate Jesus. They deny that they use loving words and say he's a prophet, but they hate him by saying he's not the Son of God, that God did not send him, and he's not the way to God.
Right.
That's hate, by the way, even if it's said with a kiss on your cheek or a sword at your neck.
Right.
And so we empowered that. We empowered that. No, somebody says, we didn't, they did. There is no they. There's just the us.
That's
right.
There's
one nation called America. Even though you might want to divide yourself by political party, even though you want to divide yourself by some ethnicity, they're our brother. They're our sister. We're the same. We're the same. And by the way, and hopefully I get a chance to just talk about that because it's horrific how we treated our brothers. and our sisters in this nation. We don't need to be worried about other people's countries and business. We need to deal with our own. We need to get it right at our own home.
That's right.
The convergence of history. And so here we are now, the environment that we created. This is what our president said. And you can see it on the VFN torch. And hopefully it's a related article to what I'm saying right here. In this, he said, I consider it, and I got some paraphrase here because it has been since his first international speech. I consider it my job as the president of the United States of America to defend Islam from any negative stereotypes, to fight against or defend it of any negative stereotypes anywhere it might be found in the world. Well, first of all, as a person, as an individual, that could be his call. You know what I'm saying? Sure. That's what that could be his personal feeling and his conviction, what he's, and that's totally within his right to do. But as the president of the United States, you're supposed to defend the country from enemies, foreign and domestic. And hello, America, he had them erased from our books and our libraries, according to Michelle Bachmann. He empowered them in Egypt. He supported them in Iran. He's his advisor, you know, not saying where she stands, but it doesn't pass the sniff test. Mm-hmm. I mean, his chief advisor was born in Iran. Now he's not wanting sanctions to continue to increase. We're not stopping this momentary, we can have nuclear weapons. And what's happening? Let me tell you what's happening. JJ's happening. What I said on VFN Radio, and I've been prophesying about what God has told us about. It doesn't matter what people give you. I don't care if they give you a phone. I don't care if they give you health care. I don't care if they give you $1 million. You got to ask the question. You got to ask the question. Did this furniture come from somebody who used to be a First Nation person that you pushed west in this country? Mm. Did these glasses, were they worn by Jews? Was this business ran by Jews in Germany? Instead of saying, oh, I got me a new apartment now.
That's right.
I got me a new house now. I got me a new farm right now. That's blood. You can't, that's a trail of tears. You can't take that man's house and God's not going to bring justice on you. And when you hear the questions, when you hear this said over the land, you didn't build that. You have to understand, you're missing it. You don't know your history. I truly believe what you're hearing is, you're about to pay the price for the sins of your fathers if you don't repent. You didn't build that. You didn't build that. You know, we've heard that.
Yeah.
You didn't build that.
Yes, we have.
And you know what? You didn't.
Right.
if you go back and you listen to prophecy and things that we've shared, this is what God revealed to me in the beginning of 2013 when I'm on sabbatical with him. It was tragic. Our history. And in the context of that, he began to show me some things, his heart towards, you know, God's a just God.
Hmm.
And a lot of people were so deep, we're probably about 2 inches deep in regards to our lives. I mean, it's you know, I'm just naive quite often. I'm like, I mean, you haven't even thought about going 3 inches deep? I mean, you know, you haven't ever thought about reading the book or something, or, you know, picking up your Bible or wondering why Elijah did. I mean, Jesus, nope, not at all. I just kind of get up and go with the current, and the wind blows me here and the wind blows me there. It's like, oh, Esau.
Someone was asking Len Ravenhill, you know, about the size of a church. It's about the size of a church. You got to know Brother Ravenhill. He says, today's churches, they're an inch deep and they're a mile long. He's like, get over it.
Oh, wow.
Get over it.
Yeah. That's,
they're an inch deep and a mile long. This is Len Ravenhill.
That's good to know that God moved in the context of that, because it's, like, it's hard to get a boat, you know, floating in an inch of water, but by God's grace and the mirror, we can do this thing.
Mm.
But you got one of those airboats or something. I mean, think about it. I mean, have you heard this statement? You didn't build that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to talk to you. This is a convergence where I'm talking about what's taking place in Egypt right now, what's happening in the world. A book that was written, that was a narrative, and now we know it's an Alinsky narrative, is written, called Dreams from My Father. And based on reports, when this book was written, a narrative was created. And so people tried to prove the book wrong, and they said, well, then all of a sudden they came out and they go, well, yeah, I just kind of converged a couple encounters in my life. And no, I didn't really, you know, have this date that night, you know, this girl, but, mm-hmm. and people were missing. People were just like, oh, you're going to have to go deeper than this. You're going to have to go deeper than this. You can argue the fact that somebody made a story up, or you can pause for a moment and think, is the narrative true? And people throw the whole story out because it took a narrative for you to understand my pain,
right.
My story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you hear some of our president's books, he says, you know, I was raised by a white mother, but I was a black man, mm-hmm. and I walked down the streets, and I would see people cross the street when I came down the street. I mean, imagine if your life was like that.
Mm-hmm.
He has a father that just left him, or vice versa. In the context of that, the contradictions of listening to his mother, who was still had mindsets, his not his mother, but his grandmother, who had mindsets of America.
Yeah.
Raising the son, Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having to deal with all the American contradictions and realities while he's walking out. No matter what, he had to choose, who am I going to be?
Yeah.
And it's so strange, and I can't even go there. I never could figure it out because I'm sort of like, I've just been naive, you know, and God's been educating me. And some, you know, you say things like Rodney King, why don't we all get along? And the whole thing is, there's a reason why. Your father oppressed me, beat me, and economically held me back for the last...
It's a long history here that you've been clueless about. You know,
right,
what I'm saying?
You didn't get the memo. It's nothing like, we cannot have coffee and you just shout my name and I run down the stadium and everything's resolved here.
Right.
And so when you're hearing statements like, you didn't build that, people are so shallow, and I mean this in a truthful way, you know, I mean this, is the fact that you're just thinking about your now. You're mm-hmm. thinking about your union. You're thinking about your politics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Your business.
Let me share something with you, and I'll tell you what I feel in my spirit is going to happen, because this is what he says. He says in Ezekiel, I believe, Ezekiel chapter 17, this is what God says, and I believe it's 17. He says, if your father does evil, if he does evil, he'll suffer for his own stuff. But you as his son or daughter, if you do what's right before God, you will not suffer for your father's sins. But if you choose to leave the right path, basically, and you go, even though you were walking rightly, now you actually turn your back on me, I'm going to deal with you for what you're doing. But guess what? Instead of dreams from my father, America, it's going to be sins of our fathers. It's going to overtake us like a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
A tidal wave. You can't say that it's not a reality. I mean, it's how in the world can you, and this is what's happened is, our leaders, for whatever reason, when we were coming up in school, they actually separated history. They pulled, you had to fully know who we were as a country, you had to take special classes at the universities just to find out who you were. And you know how we are. It's like, I don't have to have that class and I can still get my degree.
Yeah, right.
They created separate colleges. So
to
understand,
well, you had
that.
To. You had to have a separate, and there was a reason why it had to be a separate college, because they would not let you get an education.
Mm, the full education. It was his story.
So slavery was in America for 250 years. 250 years. And there was 10 years after the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln, and all of a sudden they said, okay, you're on your own. Because, you know, the 40 acres and a mule thing came from when that was going on. It's like, here's 40 acres and a mule, that's the American dream. But after 10 years, I just stopped. Okay.
Like 10 years.
I've been bound and beat and divided and destroyed and beat down as a people. And the fact that I even exist is a miracle.
Mm.
But you're going to give me 10 years to get my family together, to learn how to read, to learn how to relate, to learn how to function and actually grow food for myself and not for you, to cook food for myself and learn how to be honorable in the context of who God created me to be. You're going to give me 10 years. And what God showed me at the beginning of this year, I was sitting, I just had an artist, I need an artist, maybe, I don't know, maybe Lewis or somebody, I don't know. I know that probably a caricature situation, maybe. But I'm sitting there on this, you can see me sitting there on a floor on the sabbatical, and God has these books all around me. And I'm looking at these books, and I'm just weeping over these books. And I'm looking at them, and they're ledgers. They're ledgers. And a ledger, by the way, you don't know, it's like QuickBooks on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of money, it's people. It's your brothers. It's your sisters. And they're selling your brother and your sister. Get this, church. And many of them doing it in the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it in the name of God. And so I'm looking at these ledgers and I'm just broken. I'm thinking, it's ugly. It's horrific. It's painful. And then God would take me to these places and I would physically go to these places and I see how unconcerned people were about this reality. And he would just show me like, they don't even have a clue. They don't even care. They don't even know. And I'm just like, it's just brokenness in the state. And I'm looking and just, it's ugly. But you know what, America? It's us.
Mm-hmm.
It's us, the good, bad, and the ugly. And we need to make this right. We need to understand, when you hear, you didn't build that, he's not talking about your union. I truly believe he's talking about 250 years of slavery that built this nation. And we got to talk about that. And we got to figure this out. And the church does. And we got to lead it in great humility. We're discussing in this program a continuation of what we've been talking about on our programs about, you didn't build that.
Hmm.
You didn't build that. And thinking deeper than what it truly is. And I was talking about Ezekiel chapter 17, but really it's Ezekiel chapter 18. And when we look at the sins of our fathers, and I am talking about what's taking place in Egypt. And understand this. This is how things work. When we turn our back on God, God raises servants up who were not walking with him to discipline those who should have been walking with him. And after he finishes using them to discipline his folks, like Nebuchadnezzar, and then, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, he's in total control. He called him my servant Nebuchadnezzar. And let me tell you something, Zedekiah is on the rise. And I don't have time to talk about Zedekiah. Maybe we'll talk about Zedekiah tomorrow. But we saw it take place in New Jersey, and we saw it take place in Virginia last night. That was Zedekiah.
Mm.
God is just is right around the corner. Right, Zedekiah?
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is happening. So we're going to talk about Zedekiah, Virginia, and New Jersey, and God is just. And because Jehoiakim has already been walking, and which is God's set man. And so here we go. When you hear the words like, you didn't build that, it's like, it's so much more deeper than your shallow experience in your day-to-day PlayStation 2, Nintendo, it's all about me and getting home and watching more TV life. I believe the Lord is laying on my heart. Our president wrote a book, a narrative that really helps you understand. He's helping you understand the narrative. Read people's narratives. Quit trying to criticize people's narratives. They're trying to communicate to you in a story where they're coming from. And this is what I hear. When I hear the word dreams from my father, this is what the Lord had begun to show me on my sabbatical with him in the early part of this year was sins of our fathers.
Mm.
Because Ezekiel chapter 18 tells us very specifically that he says, listen, if you are a father, you are a mother, we'll just say a father, and you do what's right before God, you live your life before God, and this should really help you out, by the way, because a lot of times you feel unnaturally responsible for others, and you can't, I mean, you can help, but you're not, God's not going to hold you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to walk before God and teach other people their ways, and so you walk rightly before God, you do what's right, but say you have an Absalom son or daughter or whatever, and they go out and they do whatever, and they're not serving God.
Mm.
He says that father won't suffer for that son or daughter's sin, but that son or daughter will suffer for their sins. Or supposing that a father is not walking with God, and they are, you know, in rebellion to God, and they're just doing all this bad stuff and, you know, that type of thing. If that son does not choose to walk with God, he will taste his father's sour grapes.
Mm.
His teeth will grind with his own father or mother's sins, because now you got his sins and his father's sins. But if in fact you repent and realize, I don't know what his problem was or her problem was, but God, you're my God. Jesus, you're my Lord. Forgive me for my sin. I honor my father. I honor my mother. And we're talking about just aspects of this. And I move on in you. God forgives you, cleanses you, breaks all generational curses, and all of a sudden you are not walking in the sins of your fathers. But understand this. He goes on to says this. Read it. Take your time and just pick it up. 81%. Read it.
Mm.
And the world's talking about 1 in 99. I'm talking about 3 in 97. But understand this. But if you walk away from God. So this is the crazy thing. This is so, and it's only because you're probably untaught. It's probably because you're untaught. You know, the enemy's made it all about you, and you know, you're understanding it's the context of everything. And that we're all Americans, for example, in this nation. And you're just thinking about yourself, and you're thinking about your own sin.
Mm.
And you're thinking you're going to have this affair with darkness, and you're going to have this sinful life. And you're just thinking about you. At the very same time, you're criticizing our forefathers. You're criticizing their decisions. You're criticizing their ignorance and how they enslaved some of them, not all of them, because out of 750,000 deaths in the Civil War, only 40,000 of them were African Americans, which means a lot of Americans laid down their life for us to get to the place that we are today. But you're criticizing those who did evil, while you're yourself walking here in evil. This is what he says. He says, not only will you suffer for your sins, but your father's sins. So this very ones that you're defining and you're right, it's very evil what happened in our history, that's going to wash over you. That's all going to wash over you. It's going to come over you like a flood. And by the way, you deserve it. It's not like, you know, mercy is something that God doesn't give us what we deserve. That our fathers did some pretty, not all of them, but our American history, our undealt with American history, 250 years of oppressing people that are not like the majority, and then enslaving them and building an economy on their backs and taking over the cotton market of the world and bringing it down to 11 cents a ton with free, oppressed slave labor. You didn't build that. And so what you're seeing here, now you have to understand how tsunamis start. This is how tsunamis start. They start by swells. You know, in the Navy, I remember, we're in these huge ships. I mean, they're huge. But the swell, it's just like a big bump just kind of comes up in the water, and it will throw an aircraft carrier out of the water.
Wow.
But it's not a wave. It's a swell. It's a swell. And this is what's happening. This is the swell that's happening now. Right now, over in Egypt. As we speak right now, and you get that ready. As we speak, Christians are being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted because we empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. We empowered them to be able to do what they're doing. We painted a narrative for that. And understand, this swell that's taking place, it's going to come against a tidal wave against Christians and Jews on the face of the earth like a ramsack. Saul, why are you organizing me? We talked about that. As soon as Stephen got stoned, as soon as there was a successful attack against the people of God, a man of God, immediately a frenzy broke out for the church. And that's what's taking place right now in Egypt. Listen to CBN News and what's taking place to the church there.
Griffith is on assignment. An Islamic-led insurgency threatens one of the world's oldest Christian communities. 4 months after Egyptians chased their president out of office, radical Muslims still blame Christians for the uprising. Egypt's Coptic community face almost daily attacks, and they are worried about their future. July 3rd, 2013. As the sun sets over Cairo, hundreds of thousands of Egyptians celebrate in Tahrir, or Liberation Square.
was game over for Mohamed Morsi.
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Constitutional Court will rule the country during the transitional period.
Mohamed Morsi was an Islamist leader who had big dreams for Egypt.
As Egypt's first democratically elected Islamist president, Morsi also led the radical Muslim Brotherhood. But after just 1 year in office, Egyptians had had enough. Boulos Gerges joined the millions demanding he step down.
The Muslim Brotherhood believed Morsi was going to bring back the glory of Islam, purify Egypt of non-Muslims, and turn it into an Islamic country.
That worried Boulos because he's part of the 10% or so of Egypt's population that is Christian.
Everyone knew we were also protesting against the Morsi government.
Samir Abashkeron, a prominent Egyptian Christian, believes Morsi's removal was nothing short of a miracle.
Christians felt like a heavy burden had been removed from our nation. We could never have imagined that such an outcome was possible, but we prayed and God answered.
But then came the Islamic threats.
We started hearing messages on television, in mosques and on the streets, people saying they were going to kill Christians for demonstrating against Morsi and the Brotherhood. They said our family, our children, our homes and businesses would be targets.
And it turned out Egyptian Christians had every reason to be concerned.
The streets were quiet that evening. I remember there weren't too many cars on the road, not a lot of people walking around.
Boulos' wife was at home the evening they got the call that changed their lives forever.
My friend was screaming on the phone, "Jesse has been shot. Jesse has been shot."
The day was August 6th, around 7:15 in the evening. Jesse had just walked out of church, having finished 9 days of a 10-day vacation Bible school. She had walked down this very street, came to this spot that I'm standing at, and one single shot to the heart ended her life.
Jesse was our only little child. She was a wonderful person.
She was only 10 years old.
When she turned 10, I could see our little girl slowly turning into a beautiful young lady. She was my daughter. She was my friend.
Though no one has claimed responsibility, Jesse's parents believe that she was killed because of her faith.
Because we supported Morsi's removal and the army's crackdown on the Brotherhood, radical Muslims are now like bombs, ready to explode against Christians.
That fury exploded days after Jesse's murder. On August 14th, hours after the army violently broke up two Brotherhood protest camps in Cairo, Morsi's sympathizers launched revenge attacks against Christians. And when it was all over, they had destroyed more than 200 Christian-owned properties, some 43 churches seriously damaged. Shops, businesses, cars, and homes belonging to Christians were also targeted. Most of the attacks happened in central Egypt. It was the worst organized violence against Christians in 700 years. Dr. Sama Sadek, a Regent University grad and native of Egypt, says authorities did little to stop the attacks or to identify those responsible. Sadek is based in the U.S. and travels frequently to Egypt. CBN News met him in Cairo while he ministered to pastors who had lost church buildings during the assault.
Most of the pastors affected are so poor, so the Lord helped us through our friends in America to meet some of their financial and physical needs. The pastors are grateful that people in the U.S. stood beside them during their trials.
4 months after Morsi's removal, people here are worried about an Islamic-led insurgency against Christians and the new government. On October 21st, masked gunmen riding a motorcycle pulled up to a Christian wedding at a church in Cairo and killed 4 people, including an 8-year-old girl.
What is happening is targeting all of Egypt, and not only the Christians. This is enough.
People are getting sick and tired of this.
With the specter of Christian violence still rising, Boulos and his wife resolved to minister to their countrymen.
After Jesse's death, God gave us a bigger desire to pray for the terrorists and our country. Not just for Christians, but for Muslims too. Only God can open hearts and eyes to see truth and experience His love.
And I asked Phoebe, do you forgive the killer of Jesse? And she looked at me and she said, yes. That is the prayer that Christians around Egypt are continuing to lift to heaven, asking that they would have the spirit of forgiveness in the midst of these very difficult times.
That is so important, because that's where we have to humble ourselves and be sold out to God and realize, when you're hearing the statements, you didn't build this, we need to look back and ask the question, then who did? And when we find out who did, then we need to deal with it in a godly way and say, God, what do you want us to do? We're so quick to throw a gavel down on something. And just pause for a moment and think, okay, well, it is here. It is here.
Mm-hmm.
Why not ask the question then? If we're not scared of it, why not ask the question, who mm-hmm. did build it? And somebody says, because we might find out who did build it, and it might not be ours anymore. Well, truly, if you didn't build it, is it really yours?
That's right.
Does it matter who's driving the car, really? I mean, if he built the car and he bought the car and she, you know, and she painted the car,
mm-hmm.
don't you feel kind of awkward driving it? I mean, shouldn't you just get in the passenger seat and say thank you for the ride?
Mm.
Right?
Bible says something about ill-gotten gain, you know?
Yeah, it's in Isaiah, I believe, or Psalms. He says God sees the things of the widow that you have in your home, the furnishings and all.
Right.
And so what you're seeing is, I really believe there was a window, there was a season of God's mercy over this nation, a grace. And you think, well, why is this all of a sudden happening? Because the church turned its back on God.
Right.
Because God makes adversaries crazy things that we have done. He shows forth mercy and he forgives us and he brings us to the cross of his son. He says, listen, I will make the two one there. I will fix this at the cross. But the second you walk away from the cross, it ain't fixed no more.
Mm.
And everything that was left there, guess what? It didn't disappear. It comes back, Ezekiel 18.
Mm-hmm.
That plus some. And if you just study history alone, that'll keep you straight. Because ever since the Garden of Eden, men have been, you know, our sin nature, men have been not, well, good to men. And so the reason why people don't ask the question or just ponder the idea when somebody says, you didn't build that, that, okay, let's just pause for a moment. Since it's here, who did build it? And go deeper than the last, I don't know, 30 years.
Mm.
Let's go a little bit past, 1968, the assassination of an apostle that God mm-hmm. was using to bring us to our better, what God has designed for this nation.
Mm-hmm.
The assassination of who I believe is an apostle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.,
mm-hmm.
who a lot of people, it's just almost like that resolves something. It's like, now we're going to sign some legislation. You killed Dr. King, that's not resolving anything. That's right. Horrific. That's not resolving anything. That is like a blight on this nation before the eyes of God. I said, he's an apostle of God.
Mm.
He was a man that stayed faithful to God and stayed faithful to this nation, worked within the confines of our Constitution and under the leadership of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I mean, my goodness, he is a one that we as Christians need to learn of and imitate. It's a huge contrast from the ones who are children of darkness that are following Alinsky tactics and Lucifer tactics. It does organize and does do different things, but it's not under the supreme organizer like Dr. King was. Dr. King's Lord was Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
His passion was love. His desire was everyone in America treated equally, justice for all. I mean, that was his. Read it. Listen to it. Watch it.
Mm.
Go to civil rights museums and take your time to soak about our history, because they've kept a lot of our history from America. And that alone should say, you know what? If I don't deal with my sin, I'm going to have to deal with my father's sin.
Mm.
Even if I judge my father's sin and criticize my father's sin, Ezekiel 18 tells me that because I rebel against God, because I walk against God, I'm going to be dealt with my own rebellion, but the rebellion of my father's. The sins from my father. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do? He tells us in Ezekiel 18 what to do. Get right, dude. Ma'am, get right. Stop your religious games and get right.
Mm.
Humble yourself. Realize that God created every man on the face of this earth, and he told us, go make disciples of all ethnic groups. In other words, go bring everybody into the family. Teach them how to follow me. My father wants to be their father. Everyone, including you and whatever your ethnicity is. When he says, go make disciples of the nations, that word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. So when you see your nations, he's not talking about some political affiliation. He's talking about the people that live there.
Right.
He sees the Egyptian people, not the Egyptian government. Look past all that craziness going on in Egypt right now and look at the persecution taking place. Look at the oppression. Look at we stirred up in their nation. Look at Israel now surrounded by radical Islam. Look at the Green Party in Iran who cried out. Look at Pastor Saeed now locked up even in a deeper prison trying to bring heart because he would not deny Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm.
And we supported that. Look at King Assad in Syria and what's taking place there with Russia coming in. Look at Forbes magazine saying now that Putin is the most powerful, President Putin, a Putin of Rush, of Gog, is now the most powerful man in the world.
Mm.
And notice that Jehoiakim don't have any problem with that. God's set man doesn't have any problem with that. Why? Because we're being humbled as a nation. We're being humbled as a nation. You wonder what it looked like when you maybe read in your past in the Bible. Well, that's kind of strange. How did they turn on themselves? What happened? Mm. How did Gideon just stand and say, sword for the Lord and sword for Gideon, break his pitcher and shine his torch? Mm. And all of a sudden, everybody turned on each other and destroyed themselves. This is how it happened. God's totally 100% in control.
Mm.
God maybe brought the sins of their fathers or the Midianites on top of them. Maybe he just turned them on them. Either way, they turned on themselves. They turn and destroy. That's what's, if we don't turn to God, church, this nation as we know it is truly going to be fundamentally transformed. Because the truth is, you didn't build that.
Mm.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on the Emerald Coast, WHB audience, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.